You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, August 9, 2017.
All sorts of gastrointestinal diseases and other things that can make people sick and even pose death risks to people if they're exposed to them.
Members of the Hoosier Environmental Council are taking the fight over factory farm pollution to local communities. That story coming up later in the broadcast for today's Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, hackers are using exploits through smartphone software to steal your information. That's coming up on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Monroe County Commissioners approved a measure that would provide funding to keep the Shalom Center open during the weekends. The decision came during a County Commissioners work session this morning. It follows a plan laid out by Mayor John Hamilton to reduce what he's referred to as homelessness-related crime. Hamilton's proposal stated the city, county, and private sectors would split the $65,000 cost of keeping Shalom open 7 days a week for this year. During the commissioners' meeting, Shalom Development Director Dorothy Granger said crime rates decreased during Shalom's operating hours. Currently, Shalom is open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Mondays through Fridays. Granger said additional funding would allow Shalom to expand their hours to include weekends.
We need to hire and train staff. One shelter supervisor, a caseworker, supervisor for the kitchen, increase the hours of the volunteer coordinator, as well as find more volunteers. Opening on the weekend will ensure people have some place to go during the day, that they receive two meals a day, they can take showers, stay out of the rain, and feel safe.
Shalom is on track to receive more than the $65,000 amount that was proposed. City and county have each pledged about $22,000 apiece, but Shalom has so far received about $49,000 in donations from the private sector. In total, the Shalom Center is looking at having roughly $93,000 to use toward expanding their hours. Granger said other private organizations are in talks with Shalom to donate additional money to the Community Resource Center.
People don't want to see poverty. It's hard to look at. It's hard to live in that. But there are people who are poor, and I think that we have an obligation to try to help them. This is only one option, and there are a lot of complex issues that go into poverty and homelessness, the opioid addiction, you know. So it's just one piece of it. I really appreciate the fact that the city and the county, that we're operating and supporting what is a multi-pronged approach to address problems shared throughout the neighborhoods in our community.
The Monroe County Commissioner suggested moving the needed funds from their professional services fund to an emergency services housing fund. The commissioners said they hope to have a grant contract ready for approval by next Wednesday.
Brown County farmers market vendors will receive a price break thanks to an ordinance amendment. The Brown County Commissioners voted to create a $25 per year fee for vendors who sell temperature-controlled items. Originally, those vendors had to pay $50 a day in order to sell refrigerated items at the farmers market. Vendors were also required to pay a $30 business license fee and a $15 application fee and a $12 fee for space. That adds up to about $1,300 in fees for 26 weeks, according to the Brown County Democrat. Seed Brown County Executive Director Tori Berkmeyer said the revised $25 per year fee should allow more vendors to participate in and sell goods at the Brown County Farmers Market.
Incoming and returning Indiana University students will be greeted with a once-in-a-century solar eclipse on the first day of classes. The eclipse will start at 12:57 p.m. August 21st and should end about 3:49 p.m. Daniel Kirkwood shared IU's astronomy department. Katie Pilichowski said the department will be providing some free viewing glasses for those interested in observing the eclipse.
People should know, first of all, that it's a partial solar eclipse in Bloomington, and that almost 94% of the sun will be covered by the moon as it passes across. That's the maximum coverage that we'll see here in Bloomington. That means that a sliver of the sun will still be visible, and that no one should look directly at the eclipse without approved eye protection. That's the most important thing, that people shouldn't look directly at it, because even though most of the sun is covered, the remaining part that isn't covered will cause eye damage if people look at it.
Pilichowski also said viewing devices can be found in stores around Bloomington like Lowe's and Kroger. She also warned not to observe the eclipse directly, but for those who can't get a hold of the specialized glasses, an alternative is to look at the ground under the trees. Pilichowski says viewers will see little crescents of sunlight hitting the ground as the sunlight passes through the leaves of trees.
The second alternative is to make basically what's called a pinhole camera, which is very easy to do. They can use a shoebox, for example. At one end, cut a small hole, cover it with tinfoil, poke a tiny hole with a pin or a needle into the tinfoil. On the other end of the inside of the box, tape a white card or a white piece of paper. And then on the side of the box, cut a hole so that they can view the paper from outside the box. Then during the eclipse, they can point the box, tinfoil end of the box at the sun, and then look in the hole on the side of the box to see the white card. And they should see an image of the eclipse sun there.
Pilichowski will also be giving a talk about solar eclipses at the Evansville Museum of Arts, History, and Science on August 20. In Bloomington, naturalist Jill Vance is to host a viewing party on the beach at Paintown State Recreation Area on State Road 446 at noon at Lake Monroe. A pinhole projector and viewing glasses is to be provided to guests.
Two parking garages in downtown Bloomington will be sporting art installations by mid-October. Sean Starowitz, the city's Assistant Director of Economic Development for the Arts, received approval for the project during the July 8th meeting of the Board of Public Works. Starowitz said Chicago-based artist Justice Rowe was selected to beautify the Morton Street and Walnut Street parking garages. Starowitz said creation of the parking garage art installations will be done in two phases.
So he'll actually get started next week. With the interior, we're trying to get that done before students get back, and then kind of come back in September to do the exterior, which we'll have to rent a boom lift, close the sidewalk.
Starowitz said the city contract includes maintenance of the installation by the artist for 5 years, although he says the paint could last longer. Justice Rowe also created the mural at 7th Street Bike and Pedestrian Underpass titled Gensai Crossing. During that meeting, Public Works Director Adam Wason said the Indiana Department of Transportation is still working to bring the I-69 construction project under their full control. Previously, the interstate was being constructed through a public-private partnership with Spanish firm Isolux Corson.
There have been some issues with the Fullerton Pike Bridge opening and getting actually onto Fullerton Pike West. At this time, the bridge is open, but Fullerton Pike to the west is not open. So if folks could just pay particular attention to the detour signage in that area and how to access the hospital off of Shaw Road, or actually the hospital can be accessed off of Fullerton, but in order to get west on Fullerton, there's no ability to do that from Shaw Road at this point either. So,
Wason said road closures at the intersection of I-69 and Tap Road may happen sooner than expected.
Tap Road west of 37 or 69, the future 69, is still currently open. It's to the east that is not. So folks can still use Tap west of 37 for at least the next several days, and we're working with NDOT staff on some potential closures of that earlier than expected.
Wason said that NDOT's taking over the interstate's construction is in the best interest of the community. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service available at smithvillesecurity.com.
After spending years fighting lawsuits against factory farms across Indiana, the Hoosier Environmental Council says they're switching gears and educating local communities. WFHB News Director Wes Martin and WFHB correspondent Arjun Balasundaram spoke with Hoosier Environmental Council attorney Kim Ferraro for today's community report.
In an effort to defeat factory farm pollution, environmental groups across Indiana are turning their focus to educating community members about the health risks associated with confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. Kim Ferraro, senior staff attorney and director of agriculture policy at Hoosier Environmental Council, said that over the past few decades, these CAFOs have had an adverse impact on Indiana's rural communities.
Over the last several decades, the way we produce animals for foods for food has become an industrialized process where livestock are grown on what are called concentrated animal feeding operations. You refer to them as factory farms, where literally thousands of animals are confined in one space in a small area, and their waste is collected in massive pits and lagoons and then spread on property near where people live. And this has, over the last several decades, as this has occurred, really devastated rural communities and quality of life for people who live in these areas because of the noxious odors and dangerous air emissions that they're exposed to, not to mention manure spills and runoff from farm fields of this manure into waterways. Livestock manure, just like human waste, is known to contain pathogens as well as nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen. And when those things get into waterways, which we know that they do in Indiana because the number one polluter of our waterways is E. coli, which indicates that animal waste is present. So the nutrients can cause toxic blue-green algae blooms, which we're seeing happen more frequently in the summertime. And, of course, the pathogens getting into groundwater, the nutrients can cause, the phosphorus and nitrogen can cause the algae blooms. And the E. coli and other pathogens are a great health risk, especially when they get into drinking water supplies. With respect to blue baby syndrome, for example, with children, also with all sorts of gastrointestinal diseases and other things that can make people sick and even pose life risks, can pose death risks to people if they're exposed to them. On the air front, animal waste produces noxious and dangerous air emissions like hydrogen sulfide and ammonia and particulate matter, known to certainly increase asthma symptoms, and people who have asthma or other respiratory illnesses, it poses a great danger to them. It can also, I'm no public health expert, I'm a lawyer, but I can tell you from the public health studies that have been done on this, hydrogen sulfide is a neurotoxin, ammonia causes burning and itching eyes. They're all of them are noxious and can make people sick upon exposure.
The Hoosier Environmental Council lobbies for environmental protections for Indiana communities. Ferraro says one victory for the Environmental Council was the defeat of House Bill 1494, which experts say would have weakened factory farm laws across the state.
The legislation that was defeated last year would have undermined the regulations that our state environmental regulatory agency, IDEM, follows with respect to confined feeding operations. And the law would have undermined the situations in which IDEM has to give notice to impacted neighbors. It would have undermined the permitting requirements for CAFOs that are expanding. It essentially would have allowed them to expand without limit, without having to get a permit, among other things. But it was mainly aimed at undermining the already weak regulations that we have at the state level for confined feeding operations. We have sort of a 10-bullet-point list of ways that we'd like to see policy improved. One is to address the very serious gap in federal and state regulation of CAFOs. State regulation currently only addresses how manure is managed at a CAFO to protect water quality. It doesn't in any way place limits on air emissions that are produced or generated at a confined feeding operation, although we know that unhealthy amounts of hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, and particulate matter is released. So we would like to see legislation that addresses those air emissions. IDEM, the state agency, also currently has no authority to deny a permit to a CAFO based on its impact to public health. So IDEM can't say no to a permit if a CAFO is being proposed in an improper location. So we'd like to give IDEM that authority. Those are two main areas, but some others are better setbacks from waterways, greater setbacks from parks and residential homes and schools. This issue is not just a concern for people that live in rural areas. People who live in urban areas should be concerned as well. Animals that are raised in confinement like this are given antibiotics prophylactically to keep them healthy from living in these very stressful and oftentimes not clean conditions. And as a result of that prophylactic use of antibiotics, we're seeing antibiotic-resistant disease emerging like MRSA, which studies have shown is increasing in populations all over the United States because of that antibiotic use. People should be concerned about the treatment of animals if they care about animal welfare. This is a pretty abusive situation for farm animals. And also climate change. We know that agriculture, livestock agriculture, is now responsible for up to 18% of global greenhouse gas emissions that have contributed to climate change.
Ferrero said that Indiana's over 3 million hogs, 95,000 cattle, 22 million egg-laying heads, and another 4.7 million broiler chickens on factory farms produce as much untreated manure as 87 million people, nearly 14 times Indiana's population. For WFHB, I'm Wes Martin.
Support for WFHB comes from Bloomington Pride, presenting Pride Fest on August 26th in downtown Bloomington. The festival celebrates LGBTQ community and culture and features a Pride rally, education workshops, live performances, family activities, and local vendors. Details on Facebook and at bloomingtonpride.org/pridefest.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
If you've got a smartphone, put it down and listen up. Unless you're listening to me on your smartphone, that is. Smartphones are only 10 years old, but they're everywhere. Actually, it's better to say that the other way around. Smartphones are everywhere, but they're only 10 years old. They're still very new, and every day people are coming up with new ways to use them and new ways to attack them. A massive attack on Android phones that started last year is called the Gooligan malware. It's a Trojan virus that lets bad people steal sensitive information and hack into all your accounts with Google. Email, Google Drive, games, photos, anything. It's spread to millions of smartphones, and thousands more are being infected each day. If you have a Google account, you can find out if you've been hacked by going to gooligan.checkpoint.com. That's gooligan.checkpoint.com. At last year's hackers convention, yes, they have conventions, called DEF CON in Las Vegas, hackers demonstrated for CBS News just how easy it was to break into someone's smartphone and grab their contact list, text messages, recent purchases, and one fellow demonstrated a device that let him into a smartphone just by touching it. Adam Laurie simply brushed by his target in a hotel lobby, and then he could listen to anything happening in the room where the phone was, even if it wasn't in use. Think that's scary? Now there's a new program called SVPeng, S-V-P-E-N-G, that lets a crook steal everything that happens on a smartphone. It takes a screenshot every time a button is pushed and sends it to the scammer. It can make calls and send text messages. It gives itself administrator rights and can prevent the user from uninstalling it. And if the phone is used for banking, it redirects everything to a fake website that looks just like the real one and steals complete access to your bank accounts. Worse, researcher Gene Twenge has documented astonishing and unprecedented changes in the behavior of children born after 1995, the kids who have grown up with smartphones and often sleep with them under their pillow. These kids are much less likely to date, have sex, or even leave the house without their parents. They're far less likely than earlier generations to get a driver's license or a job. Between 2000 and 2015, the number of teens who get together with their friends daily dropped by 40%, and it's still dropping. The use of smartphones correlates directly with less happiness in general, with problems of poor sleeping, and teens who spend 3 hours or more online every day have a 35% greater risk of suicide. Smartphones are new. The dangers are new. The research is new. The questions are new. The answers are so new, they don't exist yet. Getting to be too dependent on these new phones isn't too smart. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Cole Stinson, Arjun Belisandaram, and Alex Davis, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Arjun Balasundaram and Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer, Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for the Brown County Hour, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.